In this season, we are approaching the day known as Easter, Resurrection Sunday, and we're thinking about the love of Christ poured out for us on the cross. This is kind of the focus of most Christians, I would venture to say all Christians, who are aware of what time of year it is. We're approaching Easter, and we're thinking about these kinds of things, the meaning of Christ. That's why this whole class is so appropriate and fitting for us at this particular point in time. What Jesus was doing when he was here in the world, and why he came to die. But not just to die, but to rise again in victory over sin and death. Now, this Boy Scout class that I've been privileged to work with memorized a few verses from Matthew 22, 37 to 40. And I wonder if maybe they remember it. But these verses are the theme verses, not just for this class, but for the Church of God Focus 40 season, called Extreme Love, which is sort of our theme here for the few weeks leading up to Easter. Do you remember how that verse goes, anybody? Jesus replied, you can just say it, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, mind, and strength." That's Mark added that. And what else? That is the first and greatest commandment, and then you shall
love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah. All the law and the prophets hang on these commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Those topics are going to be our focuses for the next several weeks as we prepare for Easter. Today, we begin by thinking about loving God with all our heart. What does it mean to love God with all your heart? When you think of a Bible character who did that, who was maybe known as a man after God's own heart, is there somebody who comes to mind? My namesake? Yes, King David. I like that character because that's how I got my name. King David is known as a man after God's own heart. The second king of Israel, only 30, but second big king of Israel anyway. And he loved God all the time. Did he behave perfectly? Did he live a life free of sin all the time? Of course not. He sinned pretty gregariously at times. And had to ask the Lord's forgiveness for that, as do we all. But he stayed true to God all the time. This day is a particularly good day for us to think not about David, but about his son. Since all of these six boys are somebody's sons, and by extension, our sons here in the church. One of David's sons, King Solomon, the one who followed him on the throne. There is a saying in the Bible that he was the wisest man who ever lived. He reigned at a time of great peace in Israel's history. In fact, his name, Solomon, means peace, peaceful. He reigned at the time when Israel held the most territory that it would ever hold. He was the richest king in Israel's history, the wisest king, a tremendous person. But his reign over Israel ended for a specific reason, and it wasn't just because he got old and retired or died. His reign ended for a specific reason. I'll read for you from 1 Kings chapter 11. If you'd like to follow along, 1 Kings is, of course, in the Old Testament. It's right before 2 Kings. It's right after the Samuel. So if you see 1 and 2 Samuel, it's right up there. 1 Kings 11, verses 1 through 13. Solomon has already married one wife, the daughter of the Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, in a political alliance. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after other gods." Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal descent and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, we call that the Mount of Olives. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab. And for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites, he did the same for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their gods. The Lord became angry with Solomon, because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, "Since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. Nevertheless, for the sake of David your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give him one tribe for the sake of David my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray as we reflect briefly on this passage today, that you would inspire us with your Spirit and so fill our hearts that we might be changed by having encountered you this day. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. For the people of God, loving God with their whole hearts is extremely important. It's always been this way. Solomon is not that much different from us. We all have the capacity to fill our hearts with things that are other than the Lord. That was Solomon's downfall, and each of us faces something or some things in our lives that can do the same thing. This passage shows that God desires his people to love him with all their hearts and to be obedient with his will. Some of you caught how many wives Solomon had. There was some chuckling going on over here. Peg, I think, said something fun. Find out what that was. 1,000 wives, I can imagine what you might have said. That's, for you gentlemen out there, that's an average of 3 birthdays per day. 3 birthdays every day. Just put that in perspective. Okay? That's tough. That wasn't the issue, though. The number of wives that Solomon had is not the reason that his reign ended. The reason his reign ended is that he allowed his wives, we could just say wife and say the same thing, he allowed someone in his life who was very close to him to turn his heart away from the Lord. That's why his reign ended. His heart had not been fully devoted to the Lord, as his father David had been. Yeah. Solomon's name, you remember I said, means peaceful. In Hebrew you would say Shlomo. Shlomo, Solomon. It means peaceful. And it's built on the Hebrew word shalom. You know that word shalom? Peace, contentedness, prosperity, completion, perfection. Shlomo's heart was not fully devoted to the Lord. There's a little nugget here that I unearthed I want to share with you today. In Hebrew, when you say fully devoted, his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, you would say Shlomo's heart was not shalem with the Lord. Shalem is the word that means fully devoted, completely filled up. And it's based on the same word, shalom, shalem. It means peaceful, perfect, quiet, filled up, whole. Shlomo's heart was not shalem with the Lord. How important it is for us to love God with our whole hearts. And how important it is for us to teach our children to do the same thing. This is why it's important that there are groups like the Boy Scouts that merge with the church at different points along the journey so that we can work with them in teaching what it means to love God with our whole hearts and minds and souls and strength. Well, that is it too. Today, as we close, I'd like to invite 2 of our Boy Scouts who have volunteered for this mighty task to come and join me to help think about the idea of loving God with our whole heart. So, Joe and Tyler, would you come up? Grab a stool and follow me. You got to say, you can say it if you don't. This is optional. Come on over here, in front of the, right there. One right there, one right there. Okay. And Kirk, I'm going to do you a favor. Grab the white one. Go share it. I checked, it stretches all the way. That far, no further. Okay, put it between you. And whenever you're speaking, just, you know, talk right to the microphone. Say, I'd like to hear you. How you doing?
I took the tall stool because I need to be taller.
Kidding.
Sorry. I know.
Yeah.
So, Joe, you have the microphone first.
Yes, I do.
What does it mean to you to love God with your whole heart?
It means to, you know, love God. That's all I know.
What does it mean to love Him with your whole heart?
It means to pour out your heart with love, singing, praising.
Yeah.
That's what it means to me, to praise God.
Good. Very good. Tyler, why do you think the Bible talks about our hearts when it talks about loving God? What's so important about
because
the heart?
Because your heart is where Jesus is supposed to be, and so you love Him with all your heart.
Yeah. Very good. I like that answer. Joe, how do you know when your heart is full of God?
Well, God will say, I'm letting you know that you're full, so you can empty yourself with the praising of my word. Then come back to me, and now that you have more praises in the world.
Interesting. So having your heart full is really only so that you can have it poured out in worship and in serving other people and other kinds of things.
Yes, that is true.
Okay.
Tyler, here you go.
Tyler,
thank you, Joe.
This is not a test, by the way. This is fun.
Test?
It feels like a test, doesn't it? No. This story that I read from 1 Kings, it says that Solomon, it's about Solomon, it says that God became angry. Do you remember that? That God became angry with Solomon because of his unfaithfulness to God? What kinds of things make God angry today? Can you think of any?
People worshiping other gods and sinning.
What other gods might people worship?
I don't know exactly the names of them. I know, like, Greek ones, like Hercules and Poseidon.
Yeah, yeah. Joe, can you think of other things in today's world that people might turn to and serve that are not God?
Idols.
Like what?
Like people will build golden idols and say, hallelujah to you, I praise you.
Mm-hmm.
But really, they should, you know, turn away from those idols and, well, praise God.
Sidebar. Seventh grade concrete thinking. It's fine. Sixth grade concrete thinking.
We're sixth graders, not seventh graders. That's 1 year from now.
Tyler, what does it look like when somebody turns away from wickedness?
They start following God and going to church and worshiping.
Uh-huh. Anything else? That's good.
And they pray to God.
Mm-hmm. Joe, you want to add on there?
When they pray to God, they are asking them to forgive themselves. When somebody turns away from a wicked or evil, known as the devil, they will say, God, could you please help me? Heal me? Please cast this demon out of my body. That's how I may know you.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good, very good. So how do we go about calling on the Lord with a pure heart?
You ask Him into your heart and follow Him.
It's pretty simple, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like it's simple to be able to follow God when He's here. He is telling you, you know what? I forgive you. May you go in peace to the Lord, your God, your Savior, the one who created you to make you heaven, to make you praise Him. That's why you can be able to follow Him in His footsteps and teach the entire world, I know God. You should be coming to church with me.
Yeah, very good. Now, this story comes from the Old Testament, and Jesus has not yet appeared on the scene in the Old Testament, right? And yet we spend a lot of time thinking about who Jesus is and talking about Jesus. What does all of this heart being full business, what does all of this have to do with Jesus? Where does he fit in?
Because you're supposed to fill your heart with the love of God and love Jesus and follow Jesus forever and ever.
Yeah. Joe, any thoughts on that? How what all of this has to do with Jesus?
Well, it means when somebody, you know, knows Jesus, they're actually, you know, thinking, hey, you know what? I need to go away from this idol. This idol is not helping me out, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
But when they turn to God, they're actually praying to him instead of that idol. So idols, they're not gods.
Yeah.
They don't move. God is actually the one who created us.
Mm-hmm.
You, me, most likely one type of people that died, they're actually looking down from heaven saying, you know what? I'm glad that I'm in church. I'm glad that I'm up in heaven with my Father.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Here you go, Tyler.
I'm going to be out of a job pretty soon, right? That's good.
Yeah, I'm good.
That's good. Yeah. Excellent. Let me tell you something a little interesting about this story. You remember at the very end, I'm through asking you guys questions, but I just wanted to share this little bit with you here at the end. You remember how at the end of the story that I read, it said that God would preserve a part of the kingdom for Solomon and his descendants. He would take away most of it, but leave a little bit behind. You know what's really cool about this story? Solomon ended up having a son who had a son who had a son, and they all stayed king of that one little tribe. We call it Judah. And eventually, far along down the line, there was a son of a son of a son of a son whose name was Joseph, your namesake,
yeah.
Right? And at one point, Joseph became engaged to a young girl whose name was Mary, and they found out that Mary was pregnant with a boy, but it wasn't Joseph's boy, I think.
It wasn't mine.
It wasn't yours.
God's my holy son. Just so you know.
That's good.
You do, Nate.
So God remains faithful to his promise. He stayed faithful to Solomon and Solomon's descendants all the way down to Joseph, who ended up becoming the earthly caretaker father of Jesus. Isn't that cool?
Yes, it is. It's pretty cool to know, well, God sent his son down here to die for our sins.
It is.
But the main thing is, we should, you know, forgive each other. Like if somebody hurts you, forgive them. Say, I forgive you. God will forgive you from your sins, and I'll pray for you. That's how you can all know God is real. But invite somebody to come to church once in a while, right?
Hey, yeah, that's
It's a good idea to invite people to come to church.
Yeah. You know what your sister said this morning?
What?
When we came into the sanctuary, she said, this church is full.
I know.
I like seeing a full church. She said that, right? Where'd you go, Liz?
She's right there. Yeah. Hello, sis.
It is good to see a fuller church.
It's good to see different kinds of people.
Yeah.
Different kinds of people that sometimes think, hey, you know what? Today's church day. I want to go to church. And so instead of me, you know, staying home, sleeping in, come to church.
It's good.
Even if it's not even like a certain day, you can still come to church for classes and youth. And plus here's the main thing. The main thing is, the big guy up there created us.
Yeah.
To live. Thank you.
He'll be here all day.
He's not here, me. Hello.
He said, thank you.
He said,
Joe, Tyler,
job.
Thank you so much for helping out with this today. I appreciate your insight and your input and your perspective on what it means to follow Jesus. This is really valuable for us. We are not complete unless we have our children. And we don't know the fullness of faith unless we see it from their perspective. This is why it's so important for us to do things like this. Would you all pray with me?
Yes,
a little holy oil is a good thing.
Yes, we will.
Let's pray together as we close for the day. Lord God, we thank you so much for laughter and for wisdom that comes to us at all ages. We thank you for the gift of knowing you and for the gift of reading your word openly and being able to learn from it. Help us to be peaceful people like Solomon, but help us to be full people, shalem people, who are full of your love, so that we might continue living for you, not just this day, or even not just on Sundays, but all the time. Bless us, O Lord, and thank you for this wonderful day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.